It's time for winners and losers this week in the Big 12 Conference. I'm Pete Mundo. Welcome in. We're Heartland College Sports, where we cover the Big 12, and we are glad that you, as always, are joining us. Take a minute, subscribe to the channel. That way you never miss a show with college football right around the corner. So I'll start with the winners because that seems to be what you guys like the most. My first winner of the week is Arizona State. Arizona State came in number 11 in the preseason coaches poll. And while that's not the end-all be-all of what's to come this season, I thought that Arizona State was ranked higher than the highest Big 12 team would end up being ranked. I figured that we'd have a team right around 14-15. Arizona State would have been a great bet there. Nobody else probably would have been ranked that high at that point. But Arizona State was a good bet to be the highest-ranked Big 12 team. I just didn't think it'd be 11. And I didn't think there'd be a 9-spot gap between the first Big 12 team and the next Big 12 team, and that's what we got with Kansas State coming in at number 20. So there's a lot of love and appreciation for what Arizona State is doing right now. And Kenny Dillingham's getting a lot of respect. He had a hilarious response. If you didn't see it, it's up on our social media. Just search Heartland College Sports. He very sarcastically said, polls are always accurate, so we should really lean into it when asked about being ranked 11th in the coaches poll. I love that answer. And I love this guy more and more every day. Now, some of you Arizona State fans think that I'm like anti-Sun Devil here. I'm not. You know, I put Sam Levitt at 4th on my Big 12 quarterback rankings, and he may go and end the season as the top quarterback in the conference. He may be a first-round NFL draft pick. He may be a Heisman finalist, and I'll look like a total buffoon. I'm fine. I'll own that. But I really like the program and really like this team. So it's all good. No issues here. But Arizona State had a great week, coming in at number 11 in the coaches poll that dropped on Monday. Now, another winner for the week across the Big 12 Conference is none other than Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell. This guy signs a contract extension at Iowa State. He takes a pay cut to do it. He understands he's got to get his guys paid. I mean, this is just one of those things that there are guys that get it in all of our industries, right? You know those guys or gals. I know those guys or gals. They just understand it. And man, is Matt Campbell one of those dudes. He understands that if he's going to win at Iowa State, he needs program continuity that starts with him, that feeds down to his coaching staff, to his support personnel, and then ultimately to his players. He was able to retain a bunch of his guys this year, more than probably some people might have expected. And he admitted at Big 12 Media Days they had better offers elsewhere, but they're staying at Iowa State. So, listen, the guy's going to make $5 million a year. He's not going to go hungry here, exactly, all right? But Matt Campbell's smart. Like, he can have this job for 30 more years if he wants. I don't know how long Matt Campbell's going to do it. I have no idea. I just know this much. He can do it for as long as he wants. And barring some half-decade run of 1-11, 2-10, 3-9, 2-10, 1-11, barring a half-decade of that, Iowa State's not going to touch him, and they shouldn't touch him unless he has some kind of half-decade run like that. He's invincible in Ames, and he should be invincible in Ames, and this is just the latest example as to why. Because of what he did, taking a pay cut for a guy that just came off of a trip to a Big 12 championship, second time this decade that's happened. So what an incredible job, and what a smart move by Matt Campbell to say it's not about me squeezing every dollar out of this university. It's not about that. It's about building a winner, a consistent winner. And here's the other reason Matt Campbell's smart to do this. If he does want to go somewhere at some point, whether it's another college football program, or I would say more likely the NFL, you got to stay competitive. You got to keep winning. If he goes back to like 5-7, 6-6 seasons, he's not going to be an appealing candidate for another job, or it'll be a less appealing candidate for another job. So this keeps him top of mind for any future job that he may want to have while still clearing $5 million a year. There's zero downside here for Matt Campbell. This is fantastic. And my final winner of the week, I give you three winners and three losers every week in the Big 12 Conference. I am going to roll to Manhattan, Kansas, where ESPN has called Avery Johnson the most important player in the Big 12. There was a list put out by ESPN's Bill Connolly, his annual list of the 40 most important players in college football for the upcoming season, and Avery Johnson came in at number 33, ahead of Sam Levitt at 34, Baylor quarterback Sawyer Robertson at 35, and TCU's Josh Hoover at 36. So there was a run of Big 12 quarterbacks, and Avery Johnson came in atop the list. Now, it's great for Avery Johnson, but it also comes with a lot more pressure, and that's what he's got to deal with now. He had a very good first half of the season, struggled a little bit on the back end. Now, his wide receiving core didn't help him at times. There's no doubt about it. But this is the year that the Kansas native has to make that jump to superstardom if Kansas State is going to win the Big 12 Conference. And that's what Bill Connolly from ESPN was noting in his piece, where he talked about how Kansas State has had consistency under Chris Klieman, three straight seasons with 9 or 10 wins, won the Big 12 title back in 22. But now we find out whether or not Avery Johnson is a really good athlete playing quarterback, or can he be a legit quarterback? Can he be a star at that position? It remains to be seen whether or not he can make that leap. I think he can. I mean, he's certainly capable of doing it. The question is, will he? And if he does, Kansas State's playing and winning a Big 12 championship this year. If he doesn't, if he's more of the athlete Avery Johnson getting by on those skills rather than the Avery Johnson who is, you know, the guy who can be and should be more of a quarterback than just an athlete. If he's the athlete, then you know what? They'll win 9 games, might even get to 10. It's possible, sure. But I don't think they're winning a Big 12 championship, and I don't think they're playing in a college football playoff. But if he does make those strides in year two as a starter, Big 12's got to watch out. So I'm fine with this list. It doesn't mean he's the best quarterback in the Big 12, but it means from an importance perspective, Avery Johnson having the best season of these four quarterbacks is most important to the success of those four teams. And that is what this is really about when you look at Avery Johnson and the future of Kansas State this season. So pressure's building. And I'll give you a bonus winner this week in the Big 12. You want one? I'll give you a bonus winner. Texas Tech just got another 5-star prospect on Thursday, if you didn't see it. LaDainian Guyton, number one overall prospect in the class of 2027. Just unbelievable. Savannah, Georgia picked the Red Raiders over Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida State. I don't know what they're paying him, but obviously it's way more than Georgia was paying. I mean, the guy is leaving Savannah, Georgia, not going to Georgia, not going to Tennessee, not going to Florida State. That's all about the money, baby. Okay? That's what it is. And I'm not saying Texas Tech fans should apologize for this at all. Please, don't apologize. I'm not saying you should. But let's be honest. He didn't go to Lubbock and say, boy, the scenery here is great. I'm going to take this over my hometown or home state program that's a couple of years removed from a national championship where my whole family is driving 2 hours down the road to Athens. I mean, Savannah, Georgia to Lubbock, Texas is not an easy road. Now, he can afford it. He'll be able to afford it, okay? I'm sure those travel plans are covered, but it doesn't make it any easier. But hey, credit to the Red Raiders. They are cleaning up, and they're doing great work on both sides of the lines of scrimmage. And man, it's paying off once again. Number one prospect in 27 has committed for now. I mean, this stuff, I guess, can always change. But he is the number one recruit in the 2027 class, according to Rivals. LaDainian Guyton, edge rusher, going to Texas Tech. Absolutely unbelievable. So there you go. Winners this week across the Big 12 Conference. Great stuff there. And We appreciate you being here as always on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Make sure you are subscribed. Let's get to some losers, shall we? You ready for some losers? Let's do it.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Let's start with ESPN. ESPN is in a bad place right now. We found out this week that ESPN has gotten further in bed with the NFL. The NFL is going to receive a 10% equity stake in ESPN. And I bring this up because I don't think it's good for college football fans. And let me explain. What you saw here was Roger Goodell go on SportsCenter, talk about the deal, and insinuate that the Red Zone product, that if you're an NFL fan, I'm sure you've watched and I'm sure you love, could be coming to college football. As someone who wants ESPN less involved in college football, this is not my idea of a great thing for the sport. Now, we know ESPN really is banking on two products right now to save their business model, the NFL and the SEC. That's why they've given the NFL a 10% equity stake in ESPN, and it's also why they've totally bent over for the SEC. They are their last hopes of basically remaining relevant. I mean, there'll always be part of Disney. There's always been rumors, too, that Disney may spin off ESPN to be its own product because, frankly, it's kind of become an anchor around the Disney brand. So now you're looking at this and saying, what might ESPN do next? Well, they might end up starting, dare I say, a college football Red Zone channel. And you know as well as I do, I mean, you think that ESPN waxes the SEC's rear end well now? Just wait. Just wait, okay? I can see it playing out right now. I can see it right in front of me. You've got Georgia taking on Kentucky. Georgia's in the red zone of a 56-0 blowout late in the third quarter. Meantime, you've got Baylor taking on, let's say, Kansas State. It's late in the season. One of these teams could end up playing for a Big 12 championship. Huge game in the Big 12 race. And we're middle of the fourth quarter, early fourth quarter, let's say, and Sawyer Robertson's down on the 8-yard line. They're facing a third and goal, and ESPN's College Football Red Zone channel decides to put on the Georgia-Kentucky game because Georgia's at the 3-yard line up 56-0, and they make the call that most of America is going to care more about Georgia-Kentucky because they want Georgia, who's probably in the running for some kind of at-large spot in the college football playoff, to look good in front of as many people as possible. That's the scenario I see playing out. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. But you know and I know that if ESPN has its druthers, that is exactly how they would handle a college football red zone moment. And I hate the thought of that. But my fear is that it would be coming. So there's my first loser of the week, now that you got me all wrapped up, bent out of shape. My second loser of the week, I'm going to put two fan bases in this category. Colorado football fans and Kansas football fans. And let me explain. It's not for reasons you might expect. These two programs and their fan bases are losers this week because of a study that came out that said Colorado and Kansas rank in the top 10 for most expensive game day experiences in college football this year. Colorado is at the top of the list. This is nationwide, with an average total cost of $302 for two people to go to a game. It's a lot of money. Colorado football. I know they're coming off a Heisman Trophy season with Travis Hunter, but Travis not there anymore. He ain't in Boulder any longer, all right? And then Kansas ranking number 10 at $265 for two people to attend the game. That's including tickets, parking, concessions, and other typical game day costs. For Colorado, that $302 figure marks a 16% increase from last year's number. And Kansas's number is a 20% uptick from 2024. Now, we know KU football's getting better. I think they can be a real thorn in a lot of people's sides this year if they overlook KU. They should not. Jalen Daniels back, healthy, should have a much stronger start to the season than he did last year, considering he was coming off basically an injury-plagued season. And I also know that, listen, KU's got a new stadium, and there's going to be fans who just want to go and see the new stadium for the first time. So I understand all of that. That is absolutely part of the equation here. That being said, Kansas football, as one of the most expensive game day experiences in all of college football, that's absurd. This team was the worst team at the Power 5 level like 4 years ago. I mean, it's a testament to how they've turned that thing around, and supply and demand is what it is, right? If you're a KU fan, and listen, I'm in the Kansas City area, so I understand. There's definitely enthusiasm for this team this year, a new stadium, but a top 10 cost in the country at KU? That shocked me. And Colorado at number one was also a stunner as well. I couldn't believe that. I figured it was a hot ticket. But having these two teams in the top, if you told me which Big 12 team or teams would be in the top 10 this year, I might have thrown out Texas Tech just because of the crazy offseason they had. And then I might have thrown out, honestly, like a BYU or something. I might have done that. But instead, I was like, wait, what? Colorado and Kansas? What am I missing here? But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. And it was a surprise when I saw that list. There's no doubt about it. You also had Alabama. Like, Texas was number three behind Colorado and Alabama. That's nuts. Notre Dame at four, Georgia five, UCLA six. UCLA, I mean, people don't even go to the games. South Carolina seven, A&M eight, North Carolina nine, and then Kansas 10. So there you go. That is that list. And my final loser of the week is me. I am a loser this week. Why? I had multiple credit cards stolen from my wallet at the gym. So go to the gym on Tuesday, put my stuff in my locker. It's one of those lockers where, you know, it's got its own code, but you can reset the code whenever you use it. So I put in my code. I could have sworn that I locked the locker. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I get back to the locker, and you won't believe it. It's like, all right, why is this? My code's not working. Huh, that's weird. Let me get a towel guy. And he opens up the locker, and I see all my stuff. I'm like, okay, good. I guess something happened. I don't know. And then I'm like, wait, where's my wallet? I have him open the locker next to mine, and there's my wallet just sitting there. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Then I open my wallet. I have a pit in my stomach. My credit cards are gone. This guy then tries to spend $500 at a Dollar Tree. I don't even know how you do that. I get a text from my credit card company. They say, was this you? You've never been to a Dollar Tree before with this card. I'm like, nope, not me. They reject it. Good job. I cancel my two cards. The next day, just before lunch, I'm like, oh, okay. I wonder what those cards are doing. I forgot about a third card that he took. I looked that card up. He goes to Best Buy, this thief, this thug, and he spends $7,500 on my card. Sick. Absolutely sick. Now, I have disputed the charge. I'm hopeful that the credit card company will take care of it. I mean, they say they will. I have a police report that has been opened. I will take any of your recommendations or ideas on how to handle this. Credit card company claims they're going to look into this and take care of it. I've got an open police report. Problem is, when I call up the credit card company, you know, they're not understanding. I mean, they understand what I'm saying, but they're not in this country. So they're like, wait, someone physically had your card? They're like, are they going to bring it back to you? I said, no, they're not bringing it back to me, okay? They stole the card at the gym. We go to this place called the gym. I exercise. I try to look halfway decent. That's my goal. Not good, okay? Not going to be Josh Pate here with the big old guns. I love Josh. I'm never going to have Josh Pate's guns. Just want to look halfway decent. And somebody broke into my locker and stole my credit cards. And they're like, okay. Are they going to give it back to you? I'm like, no, they're not giving it back to me. They stole the card. Oh, okay, sir. All right. So that was beyond frustrating. And I'm hopeful this is all going to be taken care of. But the moral of the story, if you are going anywhere, but especially to the gym, keep that locker locked. Check it twice. Maybe leave the wallet and the phone in, or at least the wallet, in your car. Lock the car, glove compartment, whatever it might be. The good news is my wedding ring, that is my late grandpa's wedding ring, was not touched. And the rest of my wallet was still there. Just took the cards out of the wallet. Left the wallet. So I guess that's a silver lining to the whole story. But yeah, I'll call myself a loser this week. I can take it. So if you want to give me a sympathy subscribe on the channel and a sympathy 5-star rating and review on the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm not above it. Come on. Come on. Just drop it right now on the podcast, Apple or Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review. My sympathy review for the week. What do you say? And on the YouTube channel, same thing. Just subscribe and like the video. Appreciate you guys. Can't wait for college football. It's all of a couple of weeks away, and we've got so much more content coming your way at heartlandcollegesports.com. And make sure you join the free Heartland College Sports Forums. Have a great day.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.